Hello there, guys. This is Brian Hilliard. I am author of the best-selling book, Networking Like a Pro, and creator of the popular program, How to Build an Audience and Get a Steady Stream of Coaching Clients Without Being Pushy. And I am joined here by my good friend, Vanessa Ugati, who is a coach in her own right. She does a lot of work with people in terms of helping them get paid their true value. Vanessa, thanks so much for coming on board here today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Brian. It's really, really lovely to share some time with you.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to this because, you know, when we talked probably a couple of weeks ago, you know, we met via LinkedIn and we were talking, just kind of, you know, seeing how this was going to go. And one of the things that really came to my attention from you was this idea of getting paid their true value. Right? You've got coaches, you've got consultants. Obviously, you work with other people, accountants, lawyers. But what we're getting at is this idea of a true worth and a true value. So I guess my first question kind of right off the bat is, how is it that somebody listening here, like, give us an idea as to how they would go through even figuring out what their true value is? Like, is it 100 pounds? Is it 300 pounds? Is it $500? Like, give us a feel for how you would describe that for our listeners, because in my mind, that's almost terra firma to get the conversation started.
Sounds like a good question. Of course, the first thing to understand about charging your worth, Brian, and I'm sure you know this anyway, is that it isn't an exact science. Right. And that's probably why it's a challenge for so many people, because there are lots of different things to take into consideration. For example, who your clients are. That's the first consideration, you know, what the market actually might stand with the clients that you're working with. And but also, I think from my perspective, I'm looking at how the person themselves, how the coach themselves sees themselves, what they see as their value. And the challenge is very often people don't see their own value. So that's when the challenge comes in. And, you know, there's also fear. There's this whole fear about if I charge this, nobody will pay it. So with any profession you look at, whether you're talking about coaches or anybody else who in effect is selling time for money, selling a service, there's a whole range of possible charges that people can put out there. And really it's up to the person themselves to determine who is it they're working with, where do they see themselves in the marketplace, what do they think they're worth, and then they have to pitch it in such a way, but they have to be comfortable with it, because if they're not comfortable with it, it's not going to work.
That, so, you know, let me just interject just for one second, just for one second, because I'm jotting down some points here. This point of where do they see themselves in the marketplace, and this whole trifecta of what I'm hearing you say, what they're comfortable with, who they're talking to, where they see themselves in the marketplace. Like, and then you had this underlying fear factor going on as well. Like, in my mind, that hits the nail right on the head. I mean, and not to interject, I love that.
But it's the truth, you know, because as human beings, we're really, really complicated. So what I've discovered in the work that I do is that often people who are really good at what they do, and I mean really good and conscientious type people, do not understand their own value. And the challenges for everybody is because our value is unconscious. You know, the longer you've been doing something, the better you are at it. You've become unconsciously competent. And of course, coaches are going to know this expression. And so the unconscious competence is held in the unconscious mind. So how do you even know how valuable you are?
Isn't that interesting?
You know, when you say things, it's like when I talk about my subject, it just flows out. You know, just so the listeners know, and I'm sure they do, this has not been rehearsed. I didn't know what I was going to be asked. So the unconscious competence of my subject just flows out. And of course, the more relaxed we are, the more it flows out. So when you're with a client and you're coaching a client, you ask the right questions, you say the right things somehow or another, you just know what to say to that person at that particular time. And very often, we've probably all had this experience of, as coaches, where the client has said, oh, you know, I never saw that. And yet to you, it's blindingly obvious. But it's not to them. So your value goes way beyond how much time you're spending with them. It's how much time have you spent understanding your subject matter, whatever it is you're coaching people in, maybe you don't have a niche, maybe it's just general, and your ability to be able to, I call it shift people, because that's what it is, the ability to help people shift and actually see who they are and how good they are and how powerful they are, depending on what niche you're in. I mean, it doesn't even matter. That's what we're good at, but we don't see it because it's a natural thing. You might have trained to be a coach, but usually there's a natural ability there to help and coach people. So it's unconscious.
You know, that's a really good point. We talked about this before. Alan Weiss talks about value-based pricing. And there's two schools of thought, as it was explained to me. There is the trading the time for, like you said, well, I'm sorry, let me back up. It's all under time for money, okay? So it all comes to that. And there's two schools of thought. There's the idea that I am going to, you know, go out and just charge X number of dollars, pounds, lira, you know, whatever per hour, okay? And that's just what I'm going to charge. And that's one school of thought. And the other school of thought is, and this is what Alan talks about, is that, well, hold on, why are we talking about how long it takes anything? So he made the examples of, it was hyperbole, but it made sense. He says, let's say you go, you remember, we've all heard about the goose who lays the golden egg, right? And, you know, let's say we found this goose. So somehow we're outside, we're walking the dog, and we find a goose that turns out can lay golden eggs. Fine. And these golden eggs are worth $5,000, just a pop, okay? Now, that goose can do that, takes 10 seconds, maybe a minute, and then he's done and he's heading off. He's watching football. Who knows what he does for the other rest of the day, right? He's done his thing. He's doing other stuff at that point until next time, okay? Now, the question becomes, should that goose charge $100 an hour? Should that goose charge 500 pounds an hour? Should that goose charge, I don't know what they do in other countries, real? I mean, should they, or should the goose technically, what's the highest the goose could charge? Well, if it's a $5,000 golden egg, technically the highest that goose could charge is $4,999, because then you can make the dollar, just using dollars as a thing, profit, right? And he said that, he says, listen, value-based pricing. He says, listen, maybe you don't go up to the 5,000 using that example, but it's like, if I were the goose's chief strategist and pricing marketing manager, I would have a dollar amount that was close to what they could expect from the end product, okay? And then taking into account lifetime value and all that other stuff. So long story short, value-based pricing is a conversation around what is the solution? This is getting to your point, I think, Vanessa. What's the shift worth to the client that they can reasonably expect to get? Now, the caveat to that is that you have to be 100% sure that the shift is going to take place. And the problem as coaches is we can't guarantee that everyone will implement exactly what we say in the manner in which we say it. So that's why we can't charge, even if it was 5,000, that's why we can't charge 5,000, but it also doesn't mean that we have to charge 500 either. And I think a lot of times as coaches, we get into this conversation about going to the 500 when really we should be walking back from the 5,000, if that makes any sense. I don't know if you would agree with that or not.
Yeah. I mean, I understand the whole value pricing thing and the challenges that we have about that. However, you know, experience can also tell us that if the person comes with this problem and they fit into a certain mold, then they can get this value out of it. We cannot, of course, be ever 100% sure because people are people, but there has to be, that's why to me, it's not just about your charging, it's about how you're selecting your clients as well.
Okay, that's
a good
point.
Make sure that you're getting the clients that are going to do that. So, okay, if I think about a client I've taken on recently, where I have charged for a set amount of time to solve the problem. I mean, there is a time involved in it, but I've set a fee for that, and I've got paid up front for it as well, by the way. I know, even after the second session with this guy, that the value he's going to get is enormous. He's not a coach, he's actually a lawyer, but he's a much older lawyer as well. But I know from where he was at, what was going on, that and how he was showing up when I had the discussions with him prior to taking him on as a client, that we were going to get great results. And in two sessions, he's not disappointed me, and I know we will. And the value of it will be way more than he's actually paid for it.
Interesting.
Yes, yeah. But I think this, you know, it depends on how good you are, I think, not you personally, but how good one is at selecting the right people. Because you
take
somebody on who has exactly the same problem and yet they didn't implement anything.
Right.
But the caveat then needs to be, in order for you to achieve this, you need to do your part. And I'm very clear when I talk to people about the fact that I'm good at what I do, but I can't perform miracles. I can't wave a magic wand and all your problems are solved. What I can do is work with you to make sure that you do what you need to do to get the problem solved.
I love that. Let's shift gears a little bit to another good point that you brought up. You mentioned the marketplace, and we talked about, I used the term, this trifecta, you know, what we talked about, and the marketplace was one of them, where people see themselves. Kind of dig into that a little bit for people, because I'll speak for myself. I hadn't heard that before. Maybe other people have. I haven't. So dig into a little bit about how somebody could ascertain where they are in the marketplace as a life coach or a business coach or a marketing guy or a career coach. How does one, just talking, I mean, obviously they're not going to do this exhaustive study, but how, give us some thoughts on that whole marketplace, you know, point, because I think that's a good one.
I guess, you know, from my perspective, I have a niche, and so I know that I know who I'm targeting. I know what I'm targeting and who I'm targeting. I think the challenge for a lot of coaches maybe is that they don't have a niche. They don't really know who they're targeting.
Right.
And so if you go out into the world just saying, oh, I'm trying to get anybody, there's that sense of you don't really know what you're looking for. So if you don't know what you're looking for, how can you find it?
Right.
And if you're saying, I can coach everybody and anybody in anything,
right,
it's very vague, you know, and you're the networking king, so you know that's the truth. If you say, I can help anybody do anything, then nobody is anybody, and so therefore they're not going to come forward. And also that it's not really very believable. But when you have something that you, when you have a niche that you coach people in, and you are passionate about that and you know what you're talking about and you've got experience of it for yourself and with other clients,
right,
then you can be, you know. And I think as time has gone on for me, I've got, shall we say, more fussy about who I work with, and I know who they are when they show up. I know who they are.
Right.
I recognize them. I recognize them and they seem to recognize me as well.
You know what, let me stop you there, Vanessa, because you are dead on correct with that. I was talking about that, and it's interesting because you go out and you meet people, and I was talking about this with a friend of mine like last week, and I said, you know what's interesting? You're talking about niche markets. We're talking about turning prospects into clients and all that stuff. I said, let me tell you what's been most fascinating. I've been doing this since 01, and I've just really, really started noticing this probably in the last 5 years. So this has not been like this huge thing I've known for years, you know what I mean? But one of the things that I try to tell people is, and I was telling her this, I said, the biggest thing that I noticed is your point exactly. When somebody wants to work with you, and well, let me put it a different way. When somebody has a problem, because it starts with that, when somebody has a problem that they feel you might be, have a potential solution, answer, way to work with, whatever, boy, do they not come to you, A, and B, you wind up attracting them. And let me tell you what happened, and you know it, to your point. I love that. And the opposite, if you're not sure, here's what I tell, if you're not sure whether someone's going to sign on with you, if you don't know, boy, you know, I just talked with them and I don't know, maybe they will. Then I tell you, you have a niche market problem and you might have a sales problem, but you definitely have a who, not a what issue. And because why? Because to your point, when you get somebody, there's no, they say, put me down. they say they don't just go immediately for the, at least in my experience, they don't immediately go for the wallet, but they're like, you know what? Let's meet next week. Let's meet next Monday. Yeah, let's do this. Let's, you know what? I had a person who's going to start, you know, at a certain date. And she's like, you know what? Put it down at the beginning of the month, not the end. I want to make sure that we really get this. I haven't gotten a dime from her, but she's like, put me down at the beginning, not at the end. No. We need to get this going now. They go to you versus us trying to convince them.
Absolutely.
Am I right with that?
Totally, Brian.
Don't realize it. Am I right with this too? Would it be fair to say that you don't realize it until you have a few of those people happen? I didn't even know. It's kind of like I make the old joke. I didn't know that you could get pulled over in this country without getting a ticket until about 10 years ago. Turns out you can. Okay. I didn't know that because people, quite frankly, who looked like me in this country always seemed to get a ticket, even if we weren't doing anything. So that's just kind of how it went. All right. So it just came to my attention within the last 10 years. I'm just telling you the truth. It came to my attention like 10 years ago that you could get pulled over and not get a ticket. I didn't know that. So anyway, it's like you don't realize that that's the case. You don't realize that that's the case until it happens. And then I'm sitting there with these clients who's like, and I don't want to give anybody the wrong impression, but it's you know what it is? It's coming from a place of flow and ease as opposed to convincing.
Absolutely. And so if I use the example of this last person I took on a couple of weeks ago or two or three weeks ago, he's actually 70.
Wow.
So he approached me via email, and his email was really jaunty and fun.
But jaunty.
Jaunty and fun. And I really I liked the energy that was coming from this email. But then I looked him up. And I'm telling you, this is a true story, and I want people to hear it because it's such a good story to also hear about my own nonsense that gets in my head. So I looked him up, but he had no website and he wasn't on LinkedIn. So my was this isn't great.
No, anyway, not a good start.
But I contacted him. I rang him up and I spoke to him. And I thought he was a really nice guy. And he told me how old he was. And that was not a great thing for me, because then immediately I was thinking, he's never going to want to spend the sort of money I charge on coaching. He's not going to spend it because he's too old. He'd been in business 20 years. He has 45 years experience as an employment lawyer, and he's also a part-time judge. So... But he was saying to me, but Vanessa, I want to work for the next 10 years. I'm not a typical 70-year-old. You know, I love what I do, but I want to get more balance. And I know I'm not charging as much as I should be because I haven't done this, that, and the other. You know, he saw me. Well, he didn't see me speak. He should have seen me speak, but he didn't turn up to it. But he was aware of me because of that. And just my message really was resonating for him.
Right.
So anyway, I had two long phone conversations with him. And in the second one, he convinced me that he would be a good client. And so I signed him up. And we started working together. And when I met him, I thought, yes, this guy is really on board. He's going to be such a good client. Well, he already is a good client. And he's already getting results. So he made a decision. He actually realized that he had never valued himself throughout his entire career.
Right.
Can you imagine? He's been 45 years doing that.
I am 45, and I was still having a problem with that when you'd mentioned that. Yeah, you know, that's since 1973, he hasn't been dealing with stuff, and that's a long time. I mean, that's my entire life.
20 years in his own practice, and he hadn't reviewed any prices for 10 years.
Right.
Right. So the point of this story is that he came to me and he had to convince me. Then in our first session, as if the story couldn't get better, he actually said to me, I really enjoyed our phone conversations. There was no rush. You didn't sell to me. There was no desperation.
Right.
I did sell to him because he bought, but I didn't sell to him. And I don't know if this sounds like gobbledygook, but it's what happened. And I didn't ask him that. He actually told me. So not only is he paying me as a client, but I've learned so much from that interaction with him that the value that I've got from that interaction with him is far greater than the money he's actually paying me to be a client.
Because
of the level of understanding I've got from it.
Right. And you know, it's interesting because you made a side point that I want to touch base on real quick. You didn't sell to him, but you presented an offer where he could buy. And that's something where, you know, that's a whole separate conversation. But that's something I just wanted to bring up in your response, because I think a lot of people, you know, just finishing this up here real quick, I think a lot of people, they think in terms of, oh, you know, I need to be the slick salesperson in order to get a higher paying client, or to get paid what I'm worth, or to get my true value. No. How about your point? And I got one more question here for, I got two more questions actually, but how about to your point, how about first of all, we start understanding our own value proposition, what we actually are worth. Okay. You use a different term, but that's what we're getting at. Number two, how about we start getting a feel for who might recognize that value proposition, right? And then how about number three, we get after it and get to those people so that they, I mean, it is literally, for those of you who play golf, it's kind of like hitting the ball. When you hit it pure, you don't feel that thing hit the club. It just jumps off of it. And I think clients and building your business is a lot like that. Okay, I got two more questions for you. First one's easy. Second one, less so, but it'd still be fun. So the first one is, tell us a little bit about your background. You know, just kind of a little bit real quick, because we only have like about 2 or 3 minutes. Give us a little bit about your background, where it is you're coming from, how you kind of got into this, because I think that would be an interesting story for people to hear.
Okay, so I was already coaching businesses, helping them overcome the mental barriers that get in the way. Mm. But unconsciously, I knew there was something missing. I just didn't know what it was. But my unconscious mind did. So this is a very short version, but it brought forward the subject of worth and value, charging what you're worth. And when I examined it, I discovered to my horror that I was terrible at charging, because I was very focused and motivated to help people, which, by the way, I still am. But I had no clue about my value. I was really uncomfortable talking about money.
Right.
When I used to say what I charged, I'd just say the small amount of money per hour, and then quickly gabble over it, you know, gabble over it, because I was so embarrassed by even having to say it. And I was so scared of them rejecting me and saying no. That's how bad I was. I was worse than anybody I've actually worked with.
Right.
Which is great, because that's why my unconscious mind brought it forward, because it knew I needed to learn it myself. But that's also why it makes me the best person for people to come to if they have a challenge, because I truly understand it at a deep level and how painful it can be when you're in that situation.
That's good stuff. No, that's awesome. All right, so here's our bonus question, our lightning round, as it were. So one of the things I always like to ask people is, you've been doing this for a while, I've been doing this for a while as well. And one of the things I always like to ask people is, if you could go back in time, so you go into this little time machine that we've got here on my desk, okay, and we were to go back into it, and you were able to go talk with an earlier version of yourself, okay, maybe someone who's just getting going, maybe someone who's making a transition, whatever, doesn't matter. My question is, what is it that you would tell an earlier version of yourself, if you could go back and maybe say one or two things? You know, you have about 2 minutes. Don't have all day.
Oh, goodness, that's a challenging question.
Yeah, but I mean, you could get in there. You can say one thing. You could say two things. But then 90 seconds, 100 seconds, 2 minutes, we're getting you right back. What either point or points would you make to an earlier version of yourself, if you don't mind us asking?
I guess one of the key things I'd say is kick fear out the window straight away, because, you know, if you've got fear playing, it's a nightmare. It's not going to help you in any way. And secondly, find out what your value is. You know, talk to people, understand what your value is, so that you don't have to go through so much pain as I do, or I have done, I should say.
Right.
That's what I'd say.
That's absolutely right. And dovetailing off of the point that we made earlier about the place in the marketplace, and you said how that's linked to the niche market. If it were me, you know, one of the things I would say to myself is niche down sooner. You know what I mean? Because I think a lot of times, to your point from before, and I agree with it, is that people are so busy trying to be everything in this kind of la-la land as a coach. And I understand, I understand why I've been there. But I would tell myself, one of the things I would tell myself is niche down sooner. You know what I mean? Go in there with confidence, climb that tree, and, you know, grab a tree, climb it, and then when we're done, we'll figure out whether or not it's the right tree or not. You know what I mean? I think a lot of times people, I'll speak for myself, I think a lot of times when I was getting started, and even in the middle, I was so hesitant and reticent to actually grab onto it and just start climbing, and I was so focused on whether or not it was the right tree to begin with, that it became a barrier to my growth rather than a facilitator towards it. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. All right, Vanessa, listen, tell us where we can get in touch with you, whether you have like a website or something like that.
It's www.thetrueworthexpert.com. Bit of a mouthful. Okay. You can find me on LinkedIn with a name like Vanessa Ugatti. There's not hundreds of us. So I think I might even be the only one.
That is awesome. So let me give everybody your name, Vanessa Ugatti, UGA2Ts, and that's an I. Even though it pronounces like an E, it's an I, okay? So you've got all that good stuff. Vanessa, it was a pleasure talking with you. I knew this was going to be a great interview. Thanks for spending some time with me.
Oh, it was great fun as well. You are such fun, Brian. I really enjoyed it.